Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Jail Is Like!
I moved the microphone away from my face this time.
Back once again, because its right to not stop is constitutionally protected.
Yes, it is.
God damn it.
Yes. Damn it. God. Please.
Damn it, God.
Damn it, God, I'm an omniscient being, not a doctor.
Dear God, are you there? It's me, the little robot boy. Sometimes I feel so lonesome.
Here goes.
I know you've blessed me with a number of wonderful things like robot punch fists and lasers for eyes, but sometimes my legs fall off and I don't get all the way through the transformation to a truck, and the other kids laugh at me because I'm half truck, half little robot boy. I just don't understand, God. So how y'all doing?
I'm fine.
You know, my mom used to make me say that prayer every night before I went to bed.
Yep. There are some phenomenally creepy prayers out there. Yeah. I had to do the one for, like, several years. I had it, like, you know, on a sign by my bed. I had to do the one about, you know, like, down to sleep. Yeah.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know what? I don't pray the Lord nothing about my soul. Leave it where it is. Thanks, God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you really care, don't let nobody be taking my life while I sleep, you know?
Exactly. I'm 9.
I want to poke the guy's eye out at least.
So tonight we have with us a third person, which is
Yes.
It's a Matt, but it's a different form of Matt Matter.
I've been here a couple
Matt
times.
It's Matt Matter.
Last time I was here, nobody brought us milkshakes, so I think that was kind of a bad omen, and I wasn't welcome back for a while, but...
That's actually exactly the thought process.
That was exactly
that
we thought
head.
About that.
We you know, it's you know, a very long involved process. You know, first we thought it was a leaf combination. You know, if there's a leaf on the floor in the studio, that meant milkshakes. You know, then we thought it meant, you know, like maybe you ritualistically sacrifice the, you know, the tape dispenser or something like that. Smear it with goat's blood. That gets the milkshake. Now we've decided that it's Matt.
It's the ratings. I don't know. I don't have a very big market share.
So if you want to prove us wrong, of course, the address is 113 North Market Street in Champaign.
Especially if you're a hot, hot, hot chick.
Or if you're a hot, hot, hot ball of gas.
Yes.
If you have a human torch or something, you know?
That'd be really kind of creepy.
But you can keep the milkshakes cold. So.
Yes, and don't burn through the door, you know? Mm-hmm. Knock first.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back, Matt.
It's great to be here. I'm really...
It's great to be back. That's what you're supposed to say.
It's great to be back.
There you go.
What Jail Is Like is, of course, throttling towards its inevitable conclusion.
Like a there's like a brick wall across the highway of my psyche at this point.
Tension is building, man.
It is.
Tension is building.
I almost broke
Will Eric kill Mark? Will Mark kill Eric? Tune in next week for the final What Jail Is Like.
I almost broke into tears last night, just spontaneously. I thought I was pregnant for a while, and then I realized, no.
Wait, no, water breaks down low, not up high.
Right.
Oh.
I just meant the whole emotional imbalance thing, smartass.
God, it's me, the little robot boy. I'd so much like emotions like all the other children. When little puppies get run over, why, I just leak a little of oil. And I turn away and continue the subroutines that I've been placed on. All the other children cry, and then they take out their rage at the senseless murder of the puppy on me, the little robot boy, because I have no emotions. So God, if you could grant my little robot self some emotions, I'd sure be appreciative.
You know, by the way, I wanted to talk to you about your subroutines.
Yeah.
I really want you to get your knees up higher, and then I want full extension on the kicks, okay?
All right. Yeah. Cha-cha, boom. 1, 2, 3, robot punch fist. Yay!
Good job, man.
Wow.
So we've already begun to look towards the door whenever we get a second. I can see Mark. Mark has a clear shot. He's the only one of us that has a clear shot to, like, there's a window to the front door. And every time between little, whenever he talks, he shoots this quick, furtive glance towards the door, like, milkshakes? Anybody? Milkshakes? Anybody?
Actually, I want to comment on the whole milkshake thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you got spoiled, like, right off the bat, and it became, like, an expectation, and, you know?
Well,
I think I should just suck it up and, you know, just deal with it.
Well, I'm ready.
When you don't get it, I don't know.
We
it's
deal.
Like,
yeah, we deal.
We got an apple pie 2 weeks ago. We didn't get a milkshake.
You got an apple pie?
Yeah.
Oh, that? I'm sorry.
That's great.
I didn't mean to lecture you on
No, it's okay. I think,
gratitude.
But I do think we are... I'm glad that we're ending when we are. I think it's time because we're becoming like the Roman Empire. Now it's you know, it's just about the milkshakes, man.
Yeah, our you know, our bastard stepsons are really not fit to take over.
No, they're very effete. Mm-hmm. They've got twitches.
Yeah. That, you know, they want to install a horse on mic number two.
Yeah.
That's, you know, he's not, he can't run the board. Mm-mm.
So anyway, how about this week for everybody? How was this week?
Well, last week we were not on the air live. We had a little taped expedition.
Yeah. Which I was so proud of.
How'd it go? Did you guys get any feedback on that? Or?
It was pretty exciting. I hope some people enjoyed it. I heard from a couple of people who did. Thank you very much to Arun Bala, host of Thursday Morning Scrambled Eggs, for taking over the board for that.
Yeah, good guy.
Good guy. I like that guy a lot. His hair is coming back in nicely.
And he is sexy. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, everybody's quite aware about what a buttermilk bottom that guy has.
So it was exciting. We were live at the Early American Museum, live, well, on tape. We took the tape on remote, did the recording. That was really nice. We met some nice people at the Early American Museum, saw some early things.
Zay. The disembodied voice of Zay down in the basement, telling us all about life in the early 1900s.
And if you missed that episode, just hit eBay. Search for Wow. You'll get it right there.
Because Mark and I we both need to pay rent.
Did you guys learn anything at the Early American Museum? I mean, what did they poop in?
There was no poop things. They didn't poop, I don't think.
Yeah, in For early America, they didn't poop.
Very, very, very retentive.
Yeah, they sat on things. I know that. And they had shovels, you know.
They were much thinner. They were much smaller.
Very small,
like,
people.
The sleds that were made for four people would fit, like, my leg.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only four people in that sled.
Huh.
They're very tiny people. We've grown to monstrous proportions.
Mm-hmm.
Selective breeding has done wonders for
us. It has.
For our race.
Selecting out all the small people.
Yeah.
Somehow
I made it through, but...
You hear that, Vern Troyer?
Your 15 minutes are up.
Take off the shiny silver jacket, please.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, you get a midget superstar, Warwick Davis. He's a modest guy, puts his time in, you know, he's really in it for the craft. This Vern Troyer guy's all over.
He's in it for the women.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? It's like every celebrity shot, there's playmates all around him, and he's just got this grin on his face.
You know, and I mean, how horrible is that? Like, if I was in a picture surrounded by playmates, I would know it's because I was rich and famous, but not because of who I am. But Vern Troyer's got that in spades, because he's 32 inches tall. Do you think he's got a healthy enough ego to fool himself into thinking that these women want to be there with him? Like, that, oh my god, there's just something inside of Vern. There's something... The best things come in small packages. No, they're thinking, this guy's got more money than God, and he's never seen a naked full-grown woman.
Top five celebrities I'm hoping never ever die. Number four, Billy Barty.
Yeah, I'm hoping Billy Barty never dies. Who's number five?
The rest of the list will be disclosed in good time.
That's good.
I think I have you, me, and Matt rated as celebrities there, and there were one through three. So,
I'd like to bring up, speaking of celebrity deaths, Mark and I found out before we came, Alec Guinness passed on yesterday. Uh-huh. Obi-Wan's gone, ladies and gentlemen, and it will be creepy if he starts showing up as a blue, like, ghostly figure, like, just around places, like, where he used to hang out.
Not only that, but will it ever be insufferable when Lucas starts saying, I told you so, no, will you just be patient with Jar Jar? I was right about Obi-Wan.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think we have details of the death, so conspiracy hasn't been ruled out.
No, I think it was a conspiracy.
You think so?
I think Ewan... I was feeling a little pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Needed to get the old guy out of the way so he could feel free to reinterpret the character.
They were afraid they'd bring him back for episode two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just a drastic change. And
Alec Guinness has been aerobicized and he's ready to go right back at it.
He was looking really good.
He looked 30. He was amazing. But you know, really, an overwhelming talent.
An overwhelming talent, above and beyond the Star Wars films.
Oh yeah,
Bridge over the River Kwai.
Yeah, and then, you know, the early... Well, didn't he do a lot of early British comedies?
I think so.
Yeah. And, I mean, the man was a very talented actor who despised Star Wars. Not the movies, just the hype around it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people go, Obi-Wan! And he's like, I'm Sir Alec Guinness. Call me Sir Obi-Wan, at least, you little bastards! No, I will not sign your lightsaber. Come here.
See, I wouldn't be like that if I was a celebrity.
Oh my God.
I would be in character all the time. If people recognize me as that character, I would oblige them.
Well, it's just the sort of thing where I can kind of understand where he's coming from. If you're 65 and you've done all these amazing things, and then you have to be that character for
exactly.
The rest of- I'm sorry.
Okay, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we can't even be respectful to the people we idolize who are dead.
Yeah.
We're bastards.
I just didn't understand.
So, we haven't kicked on people for a while. I noticed that. We haven't done just any full-out kicking on people. Like, full-out, like, raging amounts of just kicking in.
Aside from the last segment on Vern Troyer?
Well, right. I mean, I said up until the show. I was just thinking about that before the show. I drove a weird way home today. It was up in the suburbs, and I drove back here. I drove down 39. It's a highway. Who knew? I didn't know.
That's the way my parents take to come down here.
Yeah, because my parents live actually out by where your parents live, so that was perfect. I went and visited your mom, and then drove
home.
How's
she doing?
She's doing well now.
Oh, you gave her a little back adjustment?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Two times. I'm just kidding, man. I saw mom. Gave her a back adjustment two times. I needed some money for rent. But anyway, I'm driving down. There's a town called, I want to get this right, Minonka. M-I-N-O-N-K-A.
Oh, yeah,
God, I wish we had known about that earlier in the show. Minonka! It just, you know, it struck me. And,
did you see Pawpaw?
Yeah, Pawpaw.
There's a town called Pawpaw.
I'm like, whatever, a bunch of morons.
I think Pawpaw, I think it's some sort of plant akin to maybe a carrot. I don't know.
I think it is, too.
I've never actually had one, but.
And everybody there is vegetable matter, so.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of little towns that we just never kicked on.
Oh, there's, yeah, massive amounts of them.
Yeah. But how about those people who live in their parents' basements? Because I'm going to be one of them.
Yeah.
In about a week.
So if you've got advice for Eric on how to make life, you know, the best of life in your parents' basement.
Yeah, give me a call, man.
What kind of?
My parents' basement. It's my mom and her boyfriend's basement, which is.
Is it finished or is it
dank? Oh, no, it's finished.
And
no, it's finished. It's actually very nice.
Oh.
So.
That's nothing to be ashamed of, Eric.
I know, but I'm 25, man.
No. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
I feel a bit ashamed.
Thanks. How about you guys? How was your week? I mean, this is good. This is an odd time in all our lives, I believe.
I had a good week. Last week I was in California. I don't normally, well, even very frequently go on vacations, pretty much at all. But I did happen to go to California to visit some relatives. Was around a lot of married people. Was around babies. And I was kind of freaked out by both of them because, as a college student, those are people who I never, ever, ever see. I mean, maybe a professor was married. You know, maybe I've had a coworker at some point at some, you know, minor job who was married. But you don't have to deal with that, you know? I mean, that's their... don't let them fool you, you know, with their flesh and their clothes and their cars. They are really a different species, married people are.
Yes. I hung out with some married people this weekend, actually, too.
Yeah?
And it was even creepier because it was one of my really close friends. And he's been dating this girl for 5 years. I know her really well, too. But just the change. They've been married for, like, a month. But, you know, he's already turning into the haggard husband. You know, it's been a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get me some ice. And, you know, it's like I can feel for him. Like, I'm in a place in my life where she says that. And she's not even being very mean or nagging. But it's just like, you're like, oh, shut up. I was eating. I want to get up for you. Woman, get up yourself. Your legs aren't broken. Yeah, married people. What do you think about married people?
I don't know a lot of married people. My cousin's getting married in a couple of weeks. I'm the best man. I've never even been to a wedding before, so I have to make a speech. And,
it's fun, man. Slam if it's an open bar, slam a couple of Jack and Cokes.
And just do it. Yeah, well, okay, what's standard on the giving the speech? Is it cool to make fun of them a bit?
Yeah, you want to good naturedly josh them.
Okay.
But don't go too far because the family's there. So you know, like. I had to give one, and we call the guy who got married Wang. And we call him Wang because, you know, the size of certain appendages. And, I was going to tell this, originally I was going to tell the whole story about how he had his nickname and why that, you know, why Susie's marrying him and stuff like that and decided that wasn't a good idea.
It's a bad idea.
So you want to, but you do want to razz him a little bit.
Well, he's losing his hair faster than I am, so.
That's something.
I can give him a little bit of crap about that.
Yeah,
and,
do that.
His fiance offered to pay me $1,000 to wash your car while wearing a Speedo.
And you wash your car?
Yeah, for me to wash her car while wearing a Speedo.
Wow.
Why?
Because I got a nice butt.
You do have a nice butt.
I'll buy that for
Isn't it apparent?
Candy corn.
So I guess I could say something like that. I don't know. I'll probably just wing it. I'll be all right.
Yeah, I've actually
slammed the Jack and Cokes.
I've got the first wedding of my adult life to go to since first one since I was 4 years old. That was the first one for me to go to this upcoming weekend. And I mean, just the timing's really bad because I'm really paranoid about, you know, being around married people, and then this guy I know, you know, from high school is getting married. So I mean, it's really reinforcing that whole thing talked about a couple months ago, where, you know, like marriage considered as virus that happens to you, you know, and if you're around them too much, it happens and it's inevitable.
I don't think you're ever going to get married, Mark. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because you're a little robot boy with no heart.
I'll tell you what. So people that you can never see getting married, those are the ones that get married first.
Mm-hmm.
Or second, in some cases.
And, yeah, or third if there's a mix-up at the altar.
Yeah. Which happens.
Wouldn't that be phenomenal? Wouldn't you love to go to Mark Hyden's wedding?
That'd be...
The vows that they would have. Because he'd write some. Because, you know, he don't hang with all that obey stuff. It's like, I will take your suggestions.
I will honor your robot punch fists.
I will introduce you to good music.
And I pledge to not laugh at you when you tell me to do things. Merely chuckle. And then not do them. Do you, Mark, take this woman to be your wife? Well... Yeah, wife. Such a strong word. Till death do you part. Hey, well, does that mean I can kill her in order to get this over with?
I got something to do next Tuesday. Can we switch next Tuesday in there for death?
Till next Tuesday do we part.
I had a good week.
Did you have a good week?
Well, not a good week. It's just like when my weeks aren't phenomenal, they're just good.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I guess I never really have a bad week, but I'm in the process of, you know, starting to pack up my stuff in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got a lot of stuff.
It's, you know, it's amazing the stuff that accumulates.
It really is. I've got this plastic Santa Claus, and I have more CDs than I really knew that I had. I think my roommates, just when they get tired of listening to CDs, I think they just throw them in my room.
Well, that's good, but then you just take those. What you do is you take those to a local CD resaler, if you will.
Well, they're all copies of Hootie and the Blowfish. And the CD resellers, as we all know, they have...
A lot.
They got
Hootie and the Blowfish,
ever sell. But no, I had a really good weekend, though. Actually, Mark and I were in Indiana.
Visited some friends in Indiana. Toured through the scenic town of... we were in Watseka, Illinois. It's a nifty little place. They've got a theater that... apparently was thriving a few years ago. It still had the poster for Mask of Zorro on its marquee, which is pretty neat.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they haven't been doing anything since then?
I guess not. Either that or they're still showing it.
Where is Watseka?
Watseka is in Iroquois County.
It's pretty close to the Indiana border.
So how long did it take you to get there?
It's probably...
like an hour?
40 minutes. 40
minutes, something.
Oh, really? Wasn't that bad at all?
Yeah, you go up 57, just past Onarga.
Mm-hmm.
Onarga!
To US 24. You can take that east for a little while, and you hit Watseka.
I was pretty revved up that our route might take us through Onarga.
Didn't, though.
We could dodge the mud clods and stuff.
Yeah.
We could have... I should have taken a detour. I'm sorry, Mark.
That's okay. I understood.
No, man. You don't want to... It's one of those... It's like an extreme kind of thing, because, you know, you want to go into Onarga, but you're putting your life in danger if you go into Onarga with one of the full-time hosts of Dub Mochillo's, you know? Of the Dub, as we like to call it around here nowadays.
The Dub. So yeah, you know, we spent some time in the wonderful state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice folks there.
Was out on a canoe a little bit, which was kind of cool. Took a canoe out to the open lake. The only time to do that, of course, is the middle of the night when a storm is coming and there are waves, because canoes, you know, very secure little vessels.
Is that actually when you did it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Just fun. See, I would love to do that, but just... I'd be so afraid of a ghostly hand reaching up from the water and pulling me to a watery grave. I don't know.
I mean, these plants, you know, that come up out of the water, you know, if you're within like 20 feet of shore, holy God, you know, the things, wow.
Creepy.
Oh.
Very creepy.
Yeah. That and, you know, I start automatically reliving routines from Titanic, you know, and just kind of instinctively thinking that, you know, my doomed lover is right behind me and stuff like that.
Well,
you're a heartless little robot boy.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the canoe, I was reliving the perfect storm.
Yeah.
And I just kept screaming, "I'm going to get them fish." I don't even know if that's a real line, but...
Mm-hmm. It's not. Yeah, what a stupid movie, The Perfect Storm.
I didn't see it.
It was horrible.
That's the universal consensus that I hear.
Speaking of universal consensuses on horrible movies...
Yeah?
My friend Katie, I was at her house this morning. She, up north in the suburbs, at her parents' house, they have a satellite TV. So they have literally 600 and... I think the last guy was like 609 channels. 15 different, like, HBOs. And one of those HBOs happened to be playing Godzilla 98. So I made myself sit and watch 15 minutes of it. My God, Maria Bello is a blemish on the ass of society.
Patillo, you mean?
Or Patillo.
Yeah.
I like Maria Bello.
I do like Maria Bello. I got confused. It's late.
She seems to have been adequately punished, though, for the Godzilla 98 thing.
She is... Yeah, where is she, man?
I mean, yeah, last I saw, she was strung up at the town square.
Good.
Yeah.
What a really horrible... How do you get that bad a performance out of what Jean Reno? Like, really, how do you make him do stupid... Like, can you make that guy do stupider things to make him look worse? I mean, the guy's amazing.
Well, I actually heard they're going to film a documentary about Maria Patillo in which she rises from the sea and... wreaks havoc on cities and then lays eggs underground.
Nice.
And I heard it's going to be really terrible, too.
Oh, that's good.
Just a big person in a rubber suit playing Maria Patillo, or are they going to go the CGI route?
No, they're going to go with the big rubber Maria Patillo suit. Speaking of that, I heard that this Friday, opening on 2,000 screens across the U.S. is Godzilla 2000, Toho's new Godzilla film.
I read a review on that.
How bad?
They said it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's... Completely.
I know, but I mean, it's like I couldn't really tell if they mean it's bad, in that sense, or if it's just bad. They couldn't even capture that. Yeah. You know.
Well, it's Toho. I mean, you know, they did all their other ones, all the other ones.
Joining us today is Eric the Wonder Dog. Eric, that's my knee.
Sorry.
Front row.
Okay, anyway. Oh, I'm getting dizzy. Hey, it's 11. It's 10:45. Should we sneak off to a song?
Just sure.
Something.
We'll do that.
Something.
Sneak off to the song. The phone number is 359-9338. Do we?
You want to do advice?
Sure.
Let's do advice.
We'll do advice. 359-9338. Give us a call and give us your problem, your question, your concern, something that's on your mind, something that's giving you trouble, something that you want to have answered correctly. As opposed to those other schmucks who sometimes get sort of correct, sometimes they're completely inaccurate.
Or Dr. Laura, who's just a raving psychotic lunatic.
You know you can trust us because we come out of your talking radio box and...
And we're cute.
Yeah, we're very cute.
Yep.
You should see Matt Metter. He's the cutest thing on the planet.
I've been told.
He's cute as a bug in a rug.
Two ironclad guarantees. 359-9338. Please give us your questions for the advice column.